as we look at the Word of God, we realize that it speaks to how we make an impact with our lives. And for each one of us, we face different challenges, different issues. And this week's been an overwhelming week for me in many ways because of just the complicated variables that people face in life. And as a result, I found myself constantly going back to the realization that He is the one who holds us in His hand. He's the one who guides us. And yet, oftentimes, we wonder if we are making a real impact. And no doubt, Jesus had to wonder. He had to wonder if they were getting it or not getting it, if they were listening or not listening. And all of us are familiar with the fall of communism in Eastern Europe in late 80s and early 90s. In 1991, Albania, that only declared atheistic nation in the world, declared that communism was gone. In Albania in 1991, they went into the country to look and see if there were any evangelicals left. Anyone who would believe in Jesus, even though told there is no God. They found five evangelicals. That land where even Mother Teresa came from had become so pagan, so atheistic, that only five had been found. 20 years pass. 1991, we find ourselves in 2011. And we look up and we realize that just a few weeks ago, the Ministry of Culture acknowledged that there was a right for the church to be in Albania and acknowledged the evangelicals as a part of that country. It's interesting. There were five believers that they found when communism fell in 1991. In 2010, at the end of it, when they approved the church being recognized, there were 135 churches. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you understand the impact of five people? Five people who said, we still believe, we still trust, we still acknowledge the Lord as Lord of all. You see, what oftentimes we forget is that we have the opportunity to make a great impact. And today we look at what it means to gauge real impact. How do we assess whether we're really making a difference or not? And oftentimes I'll find myself in interaction with people asking them the same question over and over again. And that is, after you're gone, what kind of impact will be left? And you see, for each one of us, we have the awesome responsibility as well as the opportunity to really gauge what it is that we're doing by using God's Word as the basis to understand what He wants us to do, how He wants us to live, what things He wants us to accomplish. This week has been filled, listen, with prayer requests in the middle of the night, with cries from people's hearts that I have known at different stages of life over a number of years. Even this morning when I woke up and looked on my phone, it was a message in the middle of the night from a young lady I'd known a long time whose son was rushed to the hospital and was not able to breathe well last night and was in the hospital all night last night and sent out a message, please pray for my son. And when you get those messages, you realize that your life does make an impact. It does make a difference. It does shine in a dark place. But I want to ask you, you think about your own life, and I want to ask this in one single question, because when I think about those five Albanians, anyone who's familiar with Albania, they realize that that country from 1945 all the way to 91 disassembled everything that had anything to do with faith or Christianity. But if you think about your own life, have you ever wondered what kind of impact you're making with your life? Have you ever wondered, am I actually doing something that has consequence? Listen, if our lives are all spent in doing things that don't matter, that don't count, that don't have the opportunity to actually live beyond us, then what would we say at the end of our journey but that we had wasted our moments, missed our hour, yielded to something less than God's best? And so as we're in His house, I want you to realize that you have the opportunity to gauge your impact. And I want to talk to you about this because when I think about where we're at and where we need to go, what we as a people need to learn from Jesus, because we're on a quest to His heart. And you know, Jesus didn't intend for people to just say, I want to hang out with you. Jesus intended for their lives to make a difference. So let's think about this for a second, because today we find ourselves in John chapter 11. If you have your Bible, open there. And as you open there, turn, if you would, to the latter part of that story, beginning in verse 47. And as you turn there, you realize this is the story of what happens after Lazarus comes out of the grave. And what I want you to see today is even a dead man breathing didn't make some people understand that they could make an impact. For some, they were so caught up in something that didn't count that they did not have the opportunity to see what God was up to. And listen carefully, for you and me, and it doesn't matter, by the way, what age we are, what matters is the condition of our heart. For you and me to miss this moment in our journey would be to miss something that we would look back and regret throughout our life. So I want you to think about, what does an impacting life hold for every one of us? Because there are four things that I see in an impacting life. When a person is really making a difference, these things begin to come out of their lives and they become a part of who they are. See, the first thing about an impacting life is it leads to life change. When somebody has an impacting life, others want to get in on it, and it begins to transform the way that they live. And they look at that person and they say, I want to be like that. I want to be just like that. That's exactly why the Greeks come and say, at the particular moment that in this particular text, as we get into chapter 12, that's where why the Greeks come and say, sir, we wish to see Jesus. They wanted to be around something that would change their lives. And listen, an impacting life has the potential to be able to change lives. Not only that, though, it has the potential to be able to work in all of our lives where we begin to attract the attention of those who are looking for the truth, the truth seekers in our life, those people who look for an answer. I've been helping someone this week from another place connected to my family, and it was interesting because whenever there is a crisis in my family, and by the way, it extends even to third cousins, whenever there's a crisis, they always call me. And they always ask, what should we do? And what they're really acknowledging is, we're looking for the truth. We're looking for what will help us. The sad part of it is, listen carefully, if you are not seeking Jesus, then the potential for you being able to experience life change is absolutely nullified. And so what you need to think about is, when people see you, are you magnetic enough regarding your walk that they go, you know what, I'm looking for the truth that lives inside of you. I want to experience that as well. There's a third thing that we see when we talk about an impacting life. And I want you to think about your own journey, because here's what is important. If you have a career and you have all the other things, but you don't have an impacting life, then at the end of your journey, you're going to say, man, I wish I had done this and I wish I had done that. And you see, it doesn't displace what you do, but it brings into focus why you do it. In other words, the reason God chooses to bless you, it's not so your bank account would grow. It's so that your life impact would expand, so that you would find your security in the Lord Jesus, not in something else. And so what you and I need to do is ask ourselves, do people want to be around us because they see the change? Do we cause people to be affected by as they begin to look and say, what is the truth? Which way should I go? Another thing we see an impact in life that really is very significant is that when a person is impacting, it shifts their mindset from the temporal to the eternal. In other words, all of a sudden, a person's able to see what is absolutely essential, and that is, what would God have me do? Which way would God have me turn? What is the answer to what it is I'm facing? An eternal focus. Because all of us have the opportunity, listen, we have the opportunity to live once, and our impact will either be because we have eternally focused on what it is God has for us, or we missed it. Another final thing I'd point out to you is, when a person has an impact in life, there is a high probability that you'll face battles in life. If you're impacting, you'll face some battles. You'll go at some issues. You'll face some challenges. Because what do those battles do? Listen carefully. Your battles verify your impact. Let me ask you a question. Would the adversary waste 30 minutes with you if there wasn't something you're going to be doing that's going to make a difference? I mean, if he walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, let me ask you, is he going to eat somebody who's making no impact? Absolutely not. Why waste it? He's going to go after those who are willing to suffer, willing to be challenged. Can you imagine if you were one of those five in Albania? Every day somebody said, there is no God. Every day somebody said, why are you wasting your time? Kind of sounds like America, doesn't it? Sounds like our world, doesn't it? We live in a world like that, where people always try to displace Jesus. And yet an impacting life puts Jesus right in the center of everything. And why do we, and this principle is so important. Why do we have to confront these battles? Listen, we must confront the battles of life in order, watch this, in order to see God do the miraculous. That's why we confront these things we face in life. We got to go at them, in other words. And that's why Jesus, when he comes to this moment, it is obvious that he is going to confront those who are looking to make an impact, and he's going to deal with those who have chosen to walk away from God's best. So my challenge for you today is to think about this regarding your own life and ask yourself, am I at a place where I am making that kind of difference? Am I making that kind of impact? And as I'm making it, what's transpiring in my journey? Because the bottom line is, watch this. This is so critical. The key to making an impact is understanding the heart of Jesus. Because if I don't understand who Jesus is, how he works, what he wants to do in my life, what happens to me? I end up floundering. And listen carefully. I run into more people who are going through the motions than those who understand how to move in sync with God than I could ever count. And listen, God doesn't intend for us to just spin our wheels and go through the motion. He wants us to move forward. So let's look at this story. Let me kind of couch it inside the parameters of where we've been. But what have we seen so far? We've journeyed to Jesus' heart. We've seen him as the bread of life. We've seen him as the light of the world. We've seen him as the door. We've seen him as the good shepherd. And we've seen him as the resurrection and the life, which means we have complete assurance that when this journey is over, our ultimate impact will be that we'll be with him forever. And let me tell you, that motivates us, doesn't it? That sustains us in the midst of our journey. So as we look at this today, here's what's happening. Lazarus has come out of the grave. And as we begin reading in verse 47, we begin to see how we journey into his heart and how we gauge this impact. And if you'll notice today, what you're going to discover is that we have covered five I am statements. Five I ams, all the way from him being the bread of life, all the way to him being the resurrection of life. Today, we take an interlude in between the last two. The last two that he gives to us are very, very essential because it's there that he says, don't let your heart be troubled. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it's there in John 15 where he says, I am the vine. So today, what we do is we see as he is moving towards the cross. By the time we finish, we'll be inside of a week of him going to the cross. And so as we move through this, what we want to see is how do we make an impact with our lives? And what I hope that you'll see as you look at this is that as we start looking into his heart, you'll see four or five things that were really, really essential for your journey as you gauge your impact. Because it is my prayer that if something were to sweep across this land, that attempted to sweep out of our culture the reality of Christ, that there at least be the people of one heart who said, Jesus is still the answer for anyone who's looking for it. So let's begin reading, if we could, in verse 47. And I want you to see just four or five very essential things that are absolutely paramount for us understanding how to move forward. Verse 47, therefore the chief priests and the Pharisees convened the council and were saying, what are we doing? For this man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you take into account that it is expedient for you that one man die for the people and that the whole nation not perish. Now, he did not say this on his own initiative, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation. And not only for the nation, but in order that he might also gather together into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they planned together to kill Jesus. When you see this, you understand immediately. Watch this. Life without Jesus always leads to confusion and anxiety. Watch what's happening here. Here are all these religious people, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all these groups, of which they don't even like each other. But they come together for a common cause. They're confused. Caiaphas is so confused that he says, hey man, it's okay for one guy to die. He had no idea. He had no idea that what he was really saying was that through Jesus, all of us would have the opportunity to come into a life-changing encounter with him. All of us would have the opportunity to make an impact. And yet we live in a day where it's easy to be confused. As you look at this passage, it's interesting because as they continue to try to attack him, look what happens in verse 56. So they were seeking for Jesus. Here are those who had heard what's going on with Lazarus and all the other things. And they were saying to one another, as they stood in the temple, what do you think, that he will not come to the feast at all? Now the Pharisees and the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders. If anyone knew where he was to report it, so that they might seize him. What do we see here? Watch this. Religion opens the door to more questions. And when you think about the questions that are there, we see erroneous conclusions. And here's what I want you to see today about your faith. Your faith has to take you home. It doesn't confuse you, or it's not faith at all that is life-changing and impacting. You need to know that with Jesus, he will carry you all the way through what it is you're facing in life. And what happens is, if I don't see that, then what do? I adopt a religious posture. I start asking questions. And it's interesting. They ask the question, will he show up? Do you realize that's what happens to us sometime when we're in the middle of some struggle? We don't seem to see him. We don't seem to know where he is. And we start asking, do you think he'll show up? Listen carefully. An impacting life will experience Jesus. He will be there with you. Even when things are silent, he'll be there. So we need to look at our lives today and make sure we understand that religion can't get us where God wants us to go. Let's look at the second thing we see here. The first thing we see is religion leads to all kinds of questions, all kinds of erroneous conclusions. It causes us to look at life the wrong way. It causes us to be anxious. And listen carefully. If your heart is anchored in him, your anchor will hold in the midst of any anxiety that comes your way. But if you allow the circumstances of this world to come sweeping across you, it will be like a tsunami that drowns you. Listen, our world is being inundated with something that's not true. Our world is being inundated. And listen, if you're not watching the rumblings of the world that we live in, then you're missing out on a reality that the one who knows your name will someday call you, and someday soon will call you. Now, not only do we see that, but look on, if you would, because in the next chapter, we see the second thing that's very important. Because here we find this intimate moment, all right? This moment of depth. And what I want you to see is that when we come to a place where we have a deeper understanding of Jesus, it will lead us to a more impacting life. In other words, when I understand who he is and how he works and what he's about, my life is more impacting. It's deeper. It's stronger. It's more anchored. It's more sure. So look what happened. Here we find Jesus, and he's back in Bethany. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. And it's interesting that John makes sure we understand it's the Lazarus who just came out of the grave in the last chapter. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving. But Lazarus, one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii given to poor people?" And it's interesting what John records. Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put in it. Therefore Jesus said, "Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you not always have me." A large crowd of the Jews then learned that Jesus was there, and they came not only for Jesus, not only just for Jesus' sake, but that they might see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many were of the Jews were going away and were believing in Jesus. When you read this, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because here's a story of three people who are intimately connected into Jesus. And I want you to think about them in just a moment, because this helps you understand that God has a plan for every one of us. When we look at each one of them, Martha had a very clear understanding of something, didn't she? Martha understood service. And what you and I need to see when we think about our journey and what we're about, we need to make sure we understand we fit into what it is God has for us. Some of us are gifted to serve. And Martha understood that. It's interesting. She was always taking action. She was always moving forward. But Mary, what did Mary understand? Mary understood sacrifice. And Mary understood what sacrifice was all about, because she took what would amount to more ways than you can imagine and said, "It's a moment in which I have this special hour in which I'm able to anoint his feet." Can you imagine the power of that moment? And I love how John says that there was a fragrant aroma. There was something about that moment that was so powerful. But not only that, what did Lazarus understand? Lazarus, listen, he understood salvation. Can you imagine? The Bible says here in this text that Lazarus was sitting at the table with Jesus. I want to ask you a question. Everybody around that table, who was the happiest to be there? Lazarus was, wasn't he? Because he had been redeemed. And I'm going to tell you what's interesting. Do you know that Lazarus had a very clear affirmation that if Jesus could bring him out of the grave after he'd been dead 4 days, how much more so would he bring him out at the end of his journey? So these threats that come, obviously, they don't deter what Jesus is up to. And here's what I want you to see. We're all gifted, and we all have to understand those three things. That we must serve, that we must sacrifice, and we must know who we are in Christ. All right? If we do that, then we'll understand what it is that God's showing us, because there are challenges that are coming there. I mean, what are the challenges? The challenges are that they're going to kill Lazarus. Isn't it interesting that the focus shifts? Because when you look at chapter, in verse 57 of chapter 11, they said, go and seize him and report it to us when you get him. By the time you get to verse 11, chapter 12, they said, no, we won't kill Lazarus. Because if we kill Lazarus, it will disqualify what God has done. And if that's the case, then Jesus will be set aside. And here's what you discover. Listen carefully. Our pursuit must never be deterred by the challenges of life. In other words, we're going to have things come at us that we don't always understand, but our pursuit must never be deterred. We must look at it and go, you know what? I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm going to keep on believing. I'm going to keep on trusting. I'm going to keep on making sure that I don't miss what it is God has for me. And listen, if you are a Martha, keep on serving. If you are a Mary, keep on sacrificing. If you are a Lazarus, keep on rejoicing in your salvation. Because listen carefully, if you were dead in sin, when you became alive in Christ, you had a new birth. You had a new life, and that new life changed the way you look at life. Let's look at one other thing, because as this unfolds, something powerful begins to happen. But behind the backdrop of all this transpiring in the public arena, there are those who are hearing that there is somebody there that has such profound possibility of making such a significant impact. And we find that as we find ourselves in verse 12, because here they're coming back to the same reality, that when we understand impact, what happened? The miracles that transpired opened the hearts of everyone who sought an answer. And that's the third thing I want you to see today. What happens here is Jesus shows up, and I want you to notice as the text unfolds, listen to what happens. Verse 12, John 12:12. On the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him and began to shout, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it, as written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. These things his disciples did not understand at first, but when Jesus, watch this, when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered what things, those things that were written of him, that they had done these things to him. So the people, watch this again, so the people who were with him, when he called Lazarus out of the tomb, that miracle, and raised him from the dead, continued to testify about him. For this reason, also the people went and met him, because they had heard that he had performed this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, you see that you are not doing any good. Look, the world has gone after him. I mean, could you see this for a second? Here, all of a sudden, here is this reminder that God has done the miraculous. And as a result, people are coming by the throngs, are coming saying, man, we want to see what's going on. We want to get in on it. And you see, the reality is that as you and I live out who Jesus is, it opens the door for those who are looking for an answer. And we need to make sure that we help them be able to walk through that door. So you have to ask yourself a question. Well, I'm not a Lazarus. I haven't come out of a grave. But here's the principle. The greatest miracle in all of our lives is our salvation through Christ. Because what does that do? That gives, do you realize that you, if you've given your heart to Jesus, you have experienced a miracle far greater than Lazarus? Well, you've experienced the miracle of the new birth, the transformation of your life from sin to salvation, to from anxiety to peace, from confusion to confidence. You've experienced it all because you've experienced the miracle. Because you may have wrote that point down and said, well, you know, I haven't experienced the miracle. Yes, you have. If he is with you, you've experienced a miracle because that means that he has redeemed you. And what you and I need to see today is that we have a chance to impact with people. How do we impact? We make sure our lives move forward in a powerful way. One final thing I want you to see is we bring this together. Because I want you to go out there saying, you know what? What kind of impact have I made? What kind of impact have I made with my life? And by the way, the impact will not be gauged just in your eyes. Because many times you live far beyond your lifetime. The impact will be gauged by your obedience. Because as you obey, people will be blessed far beyond your lifetime. They'll be able to say, that person, they believed in Jesus, and they lived their faith. One final thing I want you to see, because when you get to verse 20, what happens? We find these very famous words that have been put behind more pulpits. You can imagine when the first time I preached in Romania, these words were etched in Romanian on the back of that pulpit. And what do we find? Look what happens in verse 20. Now there were some Greeks among those who were going up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and began to ask him, saying, Sir, We wish to see Jesus. I want you to stop right there for a second. Do you understand the power of those words? Do you realize that if we're to make an impact, the only thing we ever have to really present is not a portfolio of accomplishments? Listen, this week I had an encounter with somebody, not connected to our church or anything, but I met with them because they requested a meeting, and the meeting was an opportunity for this person to acknowledge all that they had done. And as they were doing, as he was sharing, I can honestly say that I said to myself, this is not the story I ever want to share. Because listen carefully, your impact is not your story. It's God's story. And you and I, listen carefully, we need to be humble enough to realize that it's the grace of God that positions us to be able to accomplish whatever he intends for us to do. And my encouragement to you today is, as you look at this, understand this concept. They said, sir, we wish to see Jesus. And what does Jesus say? Does Jesus go, hey, bring those guys in, I want to talk to them? No, it's interesting what Jesus does, because Jesus says three very profound things. Look, if you would, at verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. And I want you just to see this and not miss this, because this is so important regarding this whole issue of impact. Because there's a message to this. There's a message to what Jesus says. It's here that he's going to be glorified. Here's the principle. I want you to see the importance of lifting up Jesus above the noise of life. Because I'm going to tell you what you're going to discover. There is so much chatter, so much noise in life that oftentimes we don't see Jesus, because we allow our circumstances, we allow our situation, we allow our confusion, our anxiety to get a hold of us. And listen carefully, life will be noisy until you experience the peace of heaven. There will be noise. But what you and I need to see, and I don't want you to miss this, is I want us to be just like those five Albanians. I don't know their names. I searched to try to find out who they were. But I'm going to tell you what I do know. God knows who they are. God knows their name. He knows your name. And here's my encouragement. If you've let the chatter of this world distract you from his purpose, don't even allow it for another moment. And how do you do it? You be still and know that he is God. And when you do that, what's going to happen? Something's going to happen inside of you. And may it be said at the end of our journey, no, they won't say of us that we were one of those five Albanians. But wouldn't it be awesome if they said that person, when they lived to make an eternal impact, and it changed their world. And you know, none of us will be able to always gauge all that we're up to, but here's what we can do. When Jesus becomes everything, then all the other things will be set aside. And that's my prayer as we look at his heart. Set aside anything that gets in your way. Father, thank you for how powerful your word is. Speaks to our lives. Speaks to where we are. Move in our fellowship today, Lord. I think about those who need to make sure that the noise of life has not gotten in their way, that they're not hearing things they don't need to hear, that they're not listening to things that will lead them astray, that they instead hear your heart, they yield to you. And I want to thank you, Lord, for the power of trusting you. And I want to surrender, Lord, my heart again and again and again to make an impact that cannot be gauged by the world. And I pray, Lord, you would move and make a difference in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.